Hello, and welcome to the Terne PLC shareholder call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in listen-only mode. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. If you wish to view the presentation on a desktop, please follow the link sent within the RNS and enter your details. If you wish to view the presentation via smartphone or tablet, please download and open the Cisco Webex application. I will now pass you over to Al Cisco, the CEO. Please go ahead with your meeting.
Thank you, Jerry, and good morning, everyone. We appreciate you attending our update call here at the beginning of the fourth quarter of 2019. Our program today is to provide a presentation with an update on the numbers that we produced for the interim results with some discussion around those, followed by further discussion on our value creation paradigm and how we are looking to conclude the year 2019 with a focus on creating value for our shareholders. With that, I'll pass the baton to Sarah Payne, our financial director, who will provide you with an update on the financials that we announced earlier this year. Sarah.
Thanks, Al. Thank you. Right, I will skip forward onto our first page, which gives a bit of a summary of the headlines for the six-month period ending the 30th of June 2019. Now, in that six-month period, we continued growth in the value of our investment portfolio, both our net assets and the aggregated turnover of our portfolio companies. I'll give a little bit of detail of that shortly. Now, the net assets per ordinary share also increased year on year from 6.2 million in the comparable period in 2018 through to 6.9 pence now as at the 30th of June. And that was actually relatively comparable to the 2018 year-end position of which was 7.1 pence. Now, turning to our portfolio company KPIs, which is an aggregation of the four principal investments where we have influence, the number of employees within the principal portfolio companies in aggregation increased by 9% during the six-month period. Now, this we see this as a key metric which shows continued growth really in the operational activities of these companies. Now, in terms of the increase in turnover, again, in an aggregated position, and we forecast that to be a 50% increase year on year when we get to the position of the 31st of December 2019. And that's comparable to a 58% increase in the same period for the full year for 2018. As a reminder, our total invested capital to date stands at 15 million. And during the six-month period, we raised 1.5 million and 1.4 million was reinvested within our existing portfolio companies. Now, digging a little bit more in detail to the key metrics. Again, the value of our investment portfolio did increase by 4.2 million in the two half-year comparisons, so between June 2018 and June 2019. And this included additional investments in Fundamental, a 1.4 million investment, additional investment in InVue, a 0.4 million investment, and a 2.4 million investment in Device Authority between those two period ends. So overall, a 37% increase in the value of our investments. Now, the net assets, they increased by 25%, so 3.5 million. And again, the difference between really the net asset balance and the value of our investment portfolio is principally the 1.4 million that's held on the balance sheet in cash. The loss before tax, there was an increase in our loss before tax for the period. And that was predominantly actually due to a slightly lower fair value increase. In 2018, there was an increase in fair value due to foreign exchange differences, and in 2019, there were no foreign exchange differences to reflect. There was also a small 0.1 million increase in costs. Now, as I've touched on before, we're forecasting a 50% increase in the turnover of the portfolio for 2019, for the full year for 2019, and 58% showing in 2018 was the turnout for the year. So that's the increase in aggregated turnover for the portfolio companies or the principal portfolio companies as a whole. And again, there's a 11% increase showing in the net asset value per share if you compare the year-on-year positions. Now, the balance sheet, again, it's our investment value is really what drives the value on our balance sheet within the current assets of the 2.1 million, 1.4 million of that is cash. And then it's very important to point out there is no debt on our balance sheet. We just have the current liabilities which are sitting there, 400,000 in June 2019, but no debt at all on the balance sheet. Finally, looking at our long-term value creation plan, this is how we drive long-term value within all of our portfolio companies. Really, our focus is to be the go-to investment source for globally minded entrepreneurs in the IoT space. So we are focused very much on IoT and in particular also in the Internet of Medical Things, Internet of Industrial Things. We have a very strong US connection that gives real opportunities to our UK-based investment companies. So alongside clarity of focus, it is important that we're picking quality investments. So we want to make sure we've got a healthy pipeline with our strong networks and then actually pull out quality investments from that. So device authority and fundamental are two excellent examples of that, have superb positioning in the market and real industry credibility that highlights the quality that we're looking for when we select portfolio companies. It's when we move to intelligent nurture, this is really where we are driving value creation. We're very actively involved with the investee company managements, supporting them through their journey. Device Authority is an example where our mutual efforts have created a step up in value for Tern. And it's alongside a rigorous approach, kind of clearly defining methodology and supporting our portfolio companies in that way to ensure that they are achieving that value creation that we're putting in place from when we first get involved with the teams. And then as our portfolio matures, we would look to exit, reinvest, and effectively bring new portfolio companies on board to join the existing companies, particularly with a focus on trying to achieve synergistic benefits between our portfolio companies as well, which is enabled by the clarity of focus that we bring. So I'd like to hand over to Al, who's going to look more at the overview of how this value is being created and why we are focused in the key areas that I've touched on over the last previous slides.
Thank you, Sarah. And what I really want to drill into here is how, in fact, we turn the gear on our companies and our shareholder value creation with some specific examples. I think as we began our transition to the new model that we've established at the end of 2016-2017, one of our important attributes to the portfolio was diversification. And that diversification manifests itself in two ways. One, through broadening the scope of the underlying businesses that are part of the portfolio, and two, by bringing in additional investors to expand that network, and I'll talk about that specifically. But I think if we go back to the beginnings of Tern and its investment strategies, we were there with Cryptosoft, which was a company that we invested in at 100% and took 100% of the risk of that business through the acquisition of Device Authority Inc. In the 2016 period, we're able to mitigate that risk and provide our shareholders with a greater opportunity to see value creation through the combinations of these two companies and these two companies creating products and platforms that we believe solve critical problems within the market that they're focused on, and they're really targeting the securing of the Internet of Things in the healthcare areas and Internet of Things in the industrial IoT space. Subsequent to that, we made investments in NVMA and we made investments in fundamental VR, and we've created Wild Networks. And Wild Networks is another example of portfolio diversification, where we took three companies effectively in related areas. And again, this is part of the benefit of our synergistic portfolio, where our companies help each other out. We took these three companies and created Wild Networks, which we believe provide a internet-enabling capability to deliver communications and secure data where, in effect, Wi-Fi networks and networks in general are generally not available. Moving on, we also looked at these companies to create and deliver net asset value because the work that we do within the framework of these companies is all about creating value and value that is lasting over time. I think it's important to, again, point out, however, that when we mark the fair value of these companies, it's through the valuation of a third party or a third-party transaction. So, for example, if we go back and look at Cryptosoft, Cryptosoft began in its 2014-ish period as an investment by Tern in the range of about £300,000. Over time, value was created within that business. That business then had the acquisition of Device Authority, Inc., which in effect was a third-party validation of that value. So we have a company that, you know, began its position within Device Authority, within Tern, at roughly $300,000 in value. And at that transaction in 2016, we were able to mark up the value in our portfolio and our net asset value to north of, you know, $9 million, or about an $8 million step up in market cap. As I said earlier, we have NVMA, Wild Networks, and Fundamental VR in our portfolio, of which, you know, all of those companies that we believe have been, you know, being creative in their value creation, establishing themselves in the marketplace, and we're awaiting to, you know, to bring forward a third-party transaction to reflect that value in the value that is on the book for Tern and for our shareholders. I think the Expand co-investor network is really critical, because what we did within the experience within Cryptosoft's now Device Authority was one in which we were able to not only syndicate our investment with another venture firm and do an acquisition with that venture firm, but also allow Tern and its investors to experience the step up in value that comes with cooperating and working with venture capital resources, particularly those in the United States. So it is our effort and our drive as we move forward in 2019 and in 2020 is to take and expose our portfolio across the many opportunities that we believe exist for that these businesses in the U.S. marketplaces and again here in the U.K. And lastly, as Sarah pointed out in her gear slide, was we're looking for realizations through trade sales. We believe that the companies that we're building are really focused on developing and delivering results that make them very attractive to large companies looking to enter this exciting IoT market space with real customers and real products as their first entry into the business. Looking at our net asset value or the results of the work that we've been doing within the companies, it reflects the effort that has been put into the realization of increases in value, particularly increases in value using the monies that we generated through public placements to create value from that investment. Again, pointing out if we look at the 2016 step up in value there, it reflects the acquisition of Device Authority, but more importantly, the third party validation through Alsop Louis that our company was worth in the range of $8 million, a step up from the £300,000 from the 2014 period. As we move into 2019 and the second half, you know, we have a portfolio value and a net asset value of roughly £17 million, of which all of those transactions occurred in 2017 and 2018. So we hope to provide our companies with validation through third-party investments and third-party realizations in this 2019-2020 period to have a step up in value for those companies as they mature and as they develop value in their specific marketplaces. And when we talk about developing value, I think it's important to note that we work with our companies with our hands-on approach to help them not only create global opportunities in global markets, but also to narrow their focus to areas where they can have critical deliverables that can be measured and exploited by other companies, particularly large companies in those spaces. I think early days at Device Authority, and we discussed this at the AGM and our Capital Markets Day program in June, we were really not as well focused and not as well honed in our view to solving security problems in healthcare and industrial IoT, because Device Authority has a platform that really provides value across the board in the world of IoT connected devices and applications. We have refined that and refined that such that we're achieving results today and at Device Authority in the medical area and the IoT space and in the medical area and in the industrial IoT space that we believe are strategic for the long-term future value of this business. In the same regard, we created our investment in NVMA and Wild Networks with the idea that these two companies have the ability to deliver enabling capabilities and enabling technologies that transform companies as they transition from a non-IoT-based implementation of their utilization of resources to an IoT-based utilization of resources. And in the case of NVMA, NVMA is partnered with companies like PTC to create solutions within the PTC umbrella, and one of those solutions, AssetMinder, is one that the company is bringing to market as a critical component to show return on investment and the value of collecting and distributing data through the IoT devices and their applications. Wild Networks is in effect delivering backbone technologies to leverage, again, the same idea of collecting and delivering data. With the Amiho acquisition, we have a company that is already delivering this capability through smart meters in Eastern Europe through its distributors and customer partners, such that 350,000-400,000 smart meters will be installed using this product and the capabilities from Wild Networks by the end of 2019. Lastly, in the IoT platform area of great interest in the medical space is providing for better adoption, better delivery, and better data collection of medical information and creating better outcomes. And Fundamental VR, our latest investment, is really focused in that area and creating opportunities with medical device companies and drug companies that have been announced that are six and seven-figure kinds of transactions that are transformational in their nature, and we believe that this transformational nature of fundamental solution and platform will provide for value creation as we move into 2020 for our shareholders. We look at the internet and the medical things as our key market. But I think the important thing is that if one looks at this and determines why it's important, it really is the fact that the internet of things in the medical space is taking existing products and existing devices that are within the hospital, within the nursing facilities, within the research areas, and creating new value propositions for them to deliver, particularly in the area of patient outcomes and patient procedures. And we see this as transformational because healthcare costs are moving beyond the ability to fund healthcare at its current levels, and the NHS issues in terms of budget are a great example of the need for a change in the way healthcare is delivered. And we believe that the Internet of Things is making this transition. And we're looking at a business today that is estimated to be at about $40 billion in all-in total potential and growing to $50 billion in our specific areas by 2022. So the medical market for us is critical across all our portfolio companies because every one of our companies has the ability and is creating products and platforms that solve problems in these areas. With IoT spending in manufacturing, we also see this as our other critical area. And again, this is another market where cloud services are really changing the way companies are looking at creating new competitive capabilities for their businesses, as well as creating a return on investment for their digital assets. If you think of this from an analogy point of view, the cloud services eliminate the need for major data centers for these companies to drive these products and devices in their factories and in their customers' factories and warehouses and facilities. And if you think of this as just as electrical power, you know, it would be, you know, similar to the world continuing to build its own data centers is like having every home and every factory with its own power plant. So the cloud services model is creating a capability for companies to have digital capabilities for their applications and their devices without the cost and expense of having large data centers and dealing with the issues of data privacy and data security that have been the anathema of helping these businesses grow. So we're looking at this as a real critical opportunity for our companies. And again, we're providing, even with fundamental capabilities to improve the manufacturing processes of pharmacological products, medical devices, through the data collection capabilities of that is delivered by Fundamental. So looking at 2019, the remaining part of the year, what are our priorities? What are we at Tern doing with our companies to help create additional value creation, as well as additional awareness within the marketplace so that other companies, particularly large companies, take notice and take interest in what our portfolio is doing? And that is really, again, continuing with our hands-on support of our companies, bringing them into new markets, bringing them into new opportunities, as well as helping them refine the strategies that they're involved in. And as these strategies are evolving, we're also helping them by providing strengthening their management and boards where appropriate. For example, at the Device Authority, we were able to bring in Ramesh Kandavali, who is the founder of the FIDO Alliance, which is now an internet standard that is adopted by Apple, Microsoft, Google, and many others, Lenovo, as an important way of having secure communications. We believe things like this, where we bring people who have additional resources available to them to our portfolio boards, create long-term value and long-term awareness for our businesses. And as we said at the AGM and at the Capital Markets Day, we are really working diligently with our companies to create awareness within the financial community such that we can create second, third, and fourth round investments with these organizations using this syndicated approach to reduce our risk, as well as increase the total capital pool available for growth and follow-on opportunities within the nature of these businesses that we have invested in and will invest in the future. And with the will investing in the future, it's really about exploiting the synergistic benefits of portfolio companies like we did with the creation of Wild Networks and looking at other opportunities to bring into the portfolio, either a separate companies on their own or as tuck-ins within the strategies that have been developed within the businesses that we are invested in. So we're really focused on building great companies that have value creation that is recognized within the fastest growing markets we see in the future of digital innovation. We're really focused on finding creative ways to de-risk the value-building process that we're involved in. We're really looking at expanding our ecosystem with the customers and partners that we work with, the systems integrators that we use to, in effect, deliver our solutions, and the financial resources that are available to us here in Europe and also in the States to create additional financial capabilities as well as network expansion for the companies and the products they deliver. And from a shareholder point of view, you know, what we're looking for here is a results and results that, you know, basically deliver U.S. venture capital valuations for our companies, such that the net asset value and the net absolute net asset value and the net asset value per share that we deliver, you know, continues to grow between now and the end of 2020 at rates that we believe will provide returns for our investors that are important and substantial. And with that, I'll turn it over back to Sarah to answer the questions submitted by our shareholders.
Thank you, Al. Thanks. So I'd like to run through a number of questions that we've had in from shareholders. Thank you to everyone who sent questions in to us. I'll really start by turning to the first one, actually, Al. So we've got the share price has come down from 57 pence to 9 pence, and what do you intend to do about that?
Well, thank you, Sarah, and again, thank you, shareholders. As we discussed in our presentation today, TURN is completely focused on working with each of our portfolio companies to help them build value by executing on their business plans and models. We believe that this value creation over time will create net asset value recognition when the portfolio company raises additional capital at higher multiples or via recognition through a trade sale or IPO. We believe it's important to mention that generally investment companies such as TURN are valued by the stock market based on the net absolute net asset value and the net asset value per, on a net asset value per share basis. Our net asset value as of June 30, 2019 was 17.5 million pounds, and the net asset value per share was 6.9p. Also, as we've mentioned previously, whether or not TURN shares traded at discount or premium to net asset value per share depends on a range of factors, numbers of which are completely outside that of the board's control. These include, but are not limited to, the general economic environment, the market perception of the sector in which we invest, as well as the performance of our investment company peers, and the market's perception of the value of investee companies. It is also important to note that our current policy is not to recognize any increase in fair value on a third-party validation, is only to recognize an increase in fair value on a third-party validation event, and not just third-party validation. Our focus, as a result, remains on building great businesses by helping them execute and helping them expand their marketplace presence.
Thanks, Al. Now, we received a number of questions around funding. So to address these questions, can I ask, are you fully funded for the next 12 months?
Thank you, Sarah. I believe it's helpful to start with a reminder of what we said out in our annual accounts for the year ending December 31, 2018, published on 18 March 2019, where we included a going concern accounting policy, which included the following statement. The directors have a reasonable expectation that the company has adequate resources to continue operating for the foreseeable future. For this reason, they continue to adopt the going concern basis in preparing the company's financial statements. This has been assessed using detailed cash flow analysis so the board can conclude that the company has sufficient working capital resources to continue for at least 12 months without any additional financing requirement. In the event that opportunities are presented such that additional funding was required, management are confident that they would be able to obtain additional funds from various sources. Continuing from that published statement, as of June 30th, 2019, TURN had a 1.4 million pound cash on the balance sheet, and again, as set out in our interim report, the directors felt that this was appropriate to continue and to adopt the ongoing concern basis in preparing the interim report. TURN is an investment company, and so obviously there may be opportunities that arise over the coming 12 months that the company wishes to pursue as a means of increasing the diversity of the portfolio and its value, and this can result in a requirement to raise further funds to finance such an opportunity.
Thanks, Al. And the final question today that we were sent in says, you are struggling to get external funding for the investees. Have you considered getting external advisors to help you with this?
We and our investing companies are constantly evaluating investment alternatives that support the strategic objectives of the businesses and the value creation necessary to achieve future growth. TURN and its investee companies maintain a strong advisory base through its brokers and professional advisors, which provide the capability, when appropriate, to gain access to resources to support the growth and value of the business. These resources, however, we believe, need to be strategic in value and provide longer-lasting results than just money. So we believe we through our advisor network, are adequately staffed at this moment.
Thank you, Al. I think that was all the questions that were submitted to the call. So again, thanks very much to all the shareholders who did send a question in for this call.
Thank you, Sarah, and thank you all. We'd like to, again, we appreciate your attendance and on this call, and we appreciate the questions that were submitted. And as our practice, we plan on having an additional call early in the new year to provide, again, an update on the performance of the business and the performance of the portfolio. Thank you all, and have a good day.
This now concludes our TURN PLC shareholder call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.